Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Check them out. They appreciate it. Good morning. It is August 21st, 2021. Tuesday, my first day back to work. Off all last week. Well, I was off all last week, but actually worked Monday and Tuesday. Maybe in Wednesday. I don't even know. I took the whole week off and I ended up working. But this is the official first day back to work, and looking forward to it. Needed a little break from the grind. Went up to Connecticut. Just an amazing place. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if someone came, like, I was telling my wife, I go, you know, because we're like in awe of the town and how cute and, you know, the people and the small town or the, you know, the small businesses that line the little town streets. And, you know, it's just very quaint. And, you know, I think it's what everybody would hope to have as a community. And I said, well, people probably come to our community and say the same thing, you know, but when you live in it for as long as you do, we start to become blind to the cool nuances of our own town that we live in. So whatever, it was just nice to get away and get a little reset. Connecticut's great. Unfortunately, to get to Connecticut, you've got to go through New York. And, whew, boy. New York is cool. I love New York City. I think it's great. I'm not quite cut out for it. A little soft, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But it was fine. We've gone to Connecticut a few times, and usually we make a trip to the city. We did not take a trip to the city this time. We went over to New Rochelle and visited some friends of my wife, but we did not hit the big city. It's just a little, I don't know, it's a little chaotic. It's a big adventure, right, to hit into New York City. And so this year we didn't do it. It was fine. But coming home, you know, we were like, eh. You know this, you know, whenever you go on a trip, I'll speak for myself. Whenever I go on a trip and it's time to come home, I'm like, you know, we got to get out of here early. Let's get on the road. Let's get back. And I don't know if that's kind of like this pre-programmed thing that I have. But I told my wife, I'm like, you know, we're in no hurry. You know, we got nowhere to go. This was Sunday. I mean, I didn't have to work Monday. The kids, I guess, had to be to work or back to school on Monday. But, you know, we weren't pressed for anything. So I said, why don't we, you know, we'll have lunch, we'll hang out, and then we'll hit the road. And it seemed like a great idea. I mean, it was a great idea. In fact, I wouldn't change a thing. But so we got on the road about 2:30, about 2.5 hours later than they would have liked, and or than we had initially planned, I should say. And, oh, my God, we hit traffic in the city going over the one of the big bridges, Tappan Zee, I think it was. I don't know. And then, of course, the Jets played at Meadowlands, which is in New Jersey, and that game got out at, like, 4 or 3 o'clock. I don't know. So it was just traffic after traffic. And then we realized we had somehow lost our Easy Pass. I have no idea. So we're going through tolls. We're not paying. It just feels bad. Finally, we went through two tolls. We weren't too sure what we were, you know, because usually, you know, you go through a toll and they'll say toll paid, go. But we were going through these New York tolls that are, They don't tell you anything. It's just a kind of a you know, a sensor over the car that you go under and a camera. And I wasn't sure what we were really doing because we couldn't find it, but maybe we thought that because we were coming back from Connecticut with two kids. I mean, the car's loaded with blankets and junk. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe it's in here. We'll just go under the thing and hopefully it'll pick it up. And then we finally got we went under an easy pass thing that said it, you know, it gave us a reading. It said no toll, like it didn't charge it. So we knew at that point we did not have the easy pass, and then proceeded to, you know, to pay the rest of the way. But I talked to the guy at one of the tolls. I'm like, dude, we don't know where easy pass is. And he goes, oh, it's no big deal. It's only a $25 fine. And I go, well, it's kind of a big deal. And he's like, I go, for each time? He goes, oh yeah. So I think we went through three, so I think we're looking at like $75 worth of fines, which is annoying. So, and it's, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we can dispute it, and I can explain to them what happened, and, you know, and we can just pay the tolls, and I don't know, we'll see. But we're home, we made it back, and it's all good in the world. I did not make it to the meeting yesterday. I skipped both 12th step meetings. It's usually two meetings, and I didn't skip it. I'm actually just a little concerned because, you know, school's back on, and I'm having some challenges, especially on Mondays, because one of my children does cross country and at one school on one side of the county, and then I have another child that's, or my other two kids are in another school on the other side, and so I'm barely able to even pick them up by six, much less get them home and then get over to the meeting. So I don't know what I'm gonna have to do. I'll figure it out. But maybe I could take my daughter. I don't know. I've done that before. Let her sit, chill. I don't know. But I need to. I can't stop going to this meeting because it is the only meeting I'm going to, and it's important to me. You know, it's. So I'll work on it. The other thing going on is my father, not that this is even really important, but he had a procedure done on Friday, and I had to go to Connecticut, so my brother had to come and kind of take care of him, and there were some complications, and he's still in the hospital, and he's doing okay. I went and saw him last night. I mean, he's doing all right, but, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was supposed to be an in and out kind of thing. He ended up having complications. He was having problems with his blood pressure. And I don't know. It just, you know, it's almost the next month will be a year since we lost my mom. And I was telling my wife, I go, I'm not really ready to lose my dad. I don't know why. I mean, he's a pain in the ass. But we're kind of having this thing where and in fact, I was talking to him about it yesterday. It's because there's somebody that he knows. I won't name names, but that is very, I don't know, self. I mean, it's all self. And I was trying to explain to him a little bit of the challenges, I think, of when you live a self-centered life. And it's hard. He doesn't come from that sort of generation. He's military. He doesn't get that hippie shit. But my father and I have been having a lot of great conversations, and he's been, you know, softening and finding a little bit of grace. And not that he wasn't a great person, but very hard-lined. And to see him wave that white flag a little bit and surrender a little bit and start to see, like, oh, there are different ways of thinking of things and... because I've shared before, there was a time, you know, my father and I, we really butted heads, and for good reason. You know, I was a butt head, so some of that shit becomes a habit, and you know, it's hard to break those kind of habits. The best way for me to break that habit was to get sober, but sometimes you know, and they talk about this in the meetings, is that, you know, when you get sober, sometimes the people that have been carrying your ass for so long are the ones that are left behind, and they're not always sure what to do with themselves. You know, they've played this role. And to have him kind of have nothing, you know, there's some control when you're a fuck up. You know, when you're a fuck up, you know, people have control of you because you can't seem to get it all to get it together, so you need help all the time. So they have this sort of control over you. And, you know, it was, I was telling my wife, I go, it was really nice when I had to stop relying on my father. Not out of spite to my father, just out of, you know, feeling good about myself. You know, I mean, if I had a problem, I was always calling my dad, Dad, you know, I've talked about this. And so when I got sober, him and I, for some reason, just butted heads a lot more than when I was a drunk. You know, he'd be disappointed or annoyed at me when I was drinking and carrying on and crashing shit and breaking stuff. I mean, he'd be annoyed, but, you know, he could fix that. You know, he'd fix it through money and I would have to listen because I needed his solution, right? And so getting sober and pulling my life together and kind of leaving the nest, so to speak, you know, I left my dad with, you know, he has never said this. I'm just assuming. I may be completely off base with this, but it just seemed like our relationship got tougher because he lost his kind of his control over me. Like, I don't know. It's weird. So we would really have a lot of struggles, and he would every once in a while blurt out how much, you know, he just hated me or he just disappointed. I don't know. And I would be like, you know, you're so close-minded, blah, 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 blah. And I would storm out, you know, not talk to him for a bit. And then eventually my mom would force us to reconcile and work it out. And, you know, and then we would kind of start our relationship over again. And we did that for a while. And finally one time, you know, we got into it again, and probably one of the worst verbal arguments we had ever had, you know, really letting it all out, and probably said a lot of hurtful stuff on both parts. And I, you know, I was storming out like I would usually do. And I stopped and I said, hey, you know, or I left and I came back and I said, listen, you and I don't have a lot of time left. I would rather we spent the rest of our time together in a better way, in a more peaceful way, a more loving way. Maybe we can try to do that, you know. And at the time my mom was alive, and so part of that was for her sake, because my mom hated when we would fight, just like I think any mom would. And out of respect to my mom, let's try to stop doing this. And out of respect to our relationship, you know, we're not that bad, we're not that far off. And you know, and we made an agreement, and we've done pretty well. I mean, we've had our moments, still tough, two completely different types of thinking people. You know, my dad was a colonel in the military, you know, class of 59. Life was such a different place in 59 than it is in 2021, I guess. And, you know, it was... had to roll up our sleeves and really work at it. But here we are. And since then, my mom has passed away, and we're all my dad has, you know. His brother is, you know, whatever, different. So my brother and I is all that my dad has, and I see him starting to soften. He's starting to get the reality of, you know, he's getting older. He is becoming, and in fact, it's strange because, you know, I went and saw him last night in the hospital, and he's going to rehab, I think, today for a week or so, because, and he said, he goes, I can't be home alone. I'm not really able to get around right now. So he needs some physical therapy, and he's going to go do the physical therapy route, which is the same route my mom did. And so I told him, I go, you're following mom's path, you know. The good thing is he hasn't gone blind, which is great, and he hasn't, you know, my mom was suffering from some different ailments, which he is not suffering from. So I think he should be absolutely fine. He should be the kind of person that's perfectly set up for going to a rehab, getting some rehabilitation, and then coming back out and hopefully picking up where he left off. My mom was never rehabable. We were trying to figure out what to do with her, because my dad couldn't take care of her. So she was just going through the steps, and then I remember her going to rehab, and then telling her that, listen, she's not going to rehab, so she can't stay here. And then being in the home, and then COVID hitting, and yada, yada, yada. So it's just been, you know, besides the fact of making that decision, and then now my dad really, you know, it seems like we've just been talking a lot about the past, which I'm not a big fan of doing. I don't like to do that, but it seems like that's kind of all he has. He loves to reminisce about the past, talk about the war stories, and I get a little sick of it because I'm not that guy anymore. And yes, it's a reminder, but I think we have other things to talk about. And but he still likes to bring it up. And so last night I was at the hospital, and he's carrying on about the past. And but, you know, I see him changing. And, you know, my brother came down, which doesn't happen a lot, and was there for my dad. And I think my brother had a moment where, you know, he realizes that, you know, my dad's not going to be around forever. I don't want to say much longer, because I think he is going to be around for a while. I don't see him really, you know, this procedure that he had was a completely different kind of procedure than something that's going to kill you. It was something that a lot of old people will end up having. And so, but they fixed it, and I think he can rehab and be perfectly fine. But, you know, it's one of those things that we all had that reality check. I think my brother has. He called me yesterday. He said, keep me updated on what's going on with Dad. And I said, you want to talk to Dad? And he talked to him, and my brother told him he loved him, and my dad said he loved him back. I hadn't really heard my dad say that in a while. I told my dad that I loved him, and he told me that he loved me back. And I hadn't heard that.
Serve not through the minds of men. This lie is dead. And this cup of yours tastes holy, but a brush with the devil can clear your mind and strengthen your spine. But fingers tap into what you were once. I'm worried that I blew my only shot. Whispers in the dark, steal a kiss, you'll break her heart. Pick up your clothes, curl your toes, learn your lesson, lead me home. Spare my sins for the art.
With the devil can clear your mind. I mean, there it is. A brush with the devil can clear your mind. You know, there's I've talked about, you know, drinking. I've talked about being sober, and I've talked about when I drank after being sober and completely free from the desire to have a drink, completely able to get through a day without thinking about having a drink, and then having the devil slip into my life, picking up the drink, and literally not being able to stop again. I mean, just lost everything, lost the ability to say no, lost everything, and slid right back into that lifestyle just like that. And then when you have, like, you know, you wake up to an empty house, when your family is left, when you wreck a car, when you do something inappropriate, and all of a sudden that being the brush with the devil, and you're like, oh, shit. And your mind is clear all of a sudden. And that's happened to me a couple times, you know. One was waking up to an empty house when my first wife left, like she should have, because I was a total asshole. And you have that moment of reality. And honestly, that didn't even stop me from drinking. I drank the next day. That would be when I went to the Colonial House, reaching out to Marvin L. and saying, hey, I can't do it. I'm struggling. Him driving down, taking me up to that rehab, a brush with the devil. Cleared my mind. You know, crashing a car. You know, whatever it is, you know, that shame and guilt. You know, I call shame and guilt the devil. And I've always said nothing changes a life like shame and guilt. Nothing changes a life like a brush with the devil. I was watching this, I don't know. I saw, you know, there was something weird I saw yesterday, which was very interesting. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to even talk about that. A couple cool things happened this weekend. One of them being my band Pearl Jam took the stage for the first time in 3 years at the Asbury Park See Here Now Festival. Love Pearl Jam. Obviously, I play a lot of Pearl Jam on this podcast. And, you know, always know that none of that is my music. I, you know, give it all rights and glory to Pearl Jam and whatever other band I play on here. But that was an awesome thing. Been looking forward to that kind of getting going again. And actually, maybe that was just the only thing I could think of. That was a big deal. We got this Firefly Festival coming up this weekend. I'm not sure that I'm going to go. I'm just not sure. I want to go, but a lot of weird stuff going on, so I'm still a little concerned. Well, you know, I was watching this thing yesterday, and it was, and I don't want this to be, I'm not being controversial, I don't think, but it was this video. So that girl Gabby Petillo or whatever her name is that went missing, and I think they found her body, and her and her boyfriend were, you know, in Utah or somewhere over there towards the west, you know, running around in a van, camping, and, you know, living out in nature, and. You know, I've been listening to this story, and, you know, she went missing, and then the boyfriend came home, and then they think they found a body, and I was just like, this guy is, he must be a psychopath. Well, I watched this video yesterday. It was so weird. The cops had pulled this couple over. So there's another, and I think this probably happens, hopefully people are getting, or dying, but you know, I'll watch, there's a couple people, one couple in particular that I watch that have a YouTube channel, and they've, you know, traveled the world, right, doing vlogs and YouTube content and with sponsors, and, you know, we follow this other Project Atticus, which is a couple on a sailboat, and they basically bought this little sailboat, and they sail it around, and they make videos, and create revenue through the videos and the advertising and Patreon and whatever other little things that they do. And they get to live this lifestyle that to us looks awesome, right? Look at all this, you know, in a half hour clip or a half hour video that they make, you know, they're traveling or sailing or, you know, swimming in, you know, blue clear waters or whatever it is. They just on camera make this world, this lifestyle that they're living awesome. And so this couple Gabby and her boyfriend, Brian. Laundry, I think his name was. In fact, I remember when the cop asked him, Laundry? He said, yeah, Laundry. So in this video, this cop, it's a cop cam or, you know, cop video, whatever. But they pull this guy over the van, and it's speeding, and it's driving erratic. The guy thinks the people are drunk. Pulls him over, and it's just Brian and Gabby inside this van. And I don't know if anybody's seen this, but it is bizarre because this girl is, like, beating up her boyfriend. I don't know what's going on, but he has a lot of scratches and marks, and she says, yeah, I get frustrated, and I hit him, and he's like, you know, she gets upset. And, I mean, this Brian seems very patient. And I don't know the whole story, so, you know, don't everyone freak out. But the point was is that the cops are like, listen, if this had been if the roles had been reversed, if they had pulled this couple over, pulled them out, and this girl had these scratches and marks all over her face like this Brian guy had on his, he'd have gone to jail. He'd be in jail. But she was attacking him, hit him with her cell phone, and the cops are like, well, this doesn't fall completely under domestic violence. It's weird. I don't want to be judgmental, but it's very interesting that they let them go. They put him up in a hotel, and they let her have the van. And I don't know what happens after that. I don't know any of the details, but it was just very peculiar. I felt like the cops really should have arrested this girl. If the roles were reversed, once again, if he had laid hands on her, if he had scratched her face, if he had hit her with his cell phone, he'd be in jail. I mean, straight up, let's be honest. I mean, you touch a girl and, you know, you're going to jail, which is great, fine, whatever. But the roles were reversed and they let him go. And, you know, unfortunately now the guy is missing. They think they found her body. It still looks like something happened and it's not good. I don't know anything about that. I just thought that that video was very interesting. And I'm like, if the cops probably should have arrested her, at least taken her away, separated them, because, you know, maybe, you know, things would be a little different now. I don't know if anybody's been considering that. I don't know, but I just thought that was a little bit weird. Has anybody else seen that? I don't know. Let's see. Maybe we can do word, thought, and deed. He works with my inner self while I produce in the outer world, or he will not do for me what I can do for myself. I must be willing to do his work so that he can function through me successfully. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, that's surrendering. I feel like that's God's work, to surrender. You know, I think that's what God would want. That doesn't sound too hokey pokey, right? I mean, God wants, I would think, I'm not going to speak for God, right? But I would think he would want peace and joy. And, you know, I think it was God working through me when I turned around that day and came back into my dad's house and said, hey, let's not do this. Let's see if we can finish this up on a good note instead of on a bad note. Because I could have kept walking that day and never came back. And I could have continued to have a relationship with my mother through the phone. Picking her up for lunch and creating a separate relationship with my mom, completely avoiding my dad just out of spite. And really, that's the devil's work for me. And listen, guys, or people, folks, I'm not religious, all right? I don't go to church. I mean, there are days I don't even, I mean, I've said it before, I'm not a big believer in God, period. Especially the God that, you know, the church God. I believe in a higher power. I believe in humility, and I believe in self, and I believe in the balance. And when one is off, it gets rough. You know, you can't live a life of complete humility all the time. That would be like a monk. You know, no talking, no different style of clothing, you know, just a shawl or whatever monks wear, you know, and completely give my life to humility. And I'm not that. I have to find a balance, for me at least. Listen, I can be balanced and think I'm living a pretty decent life and still be headed right to hell. I don't even know. But in the moment, for the day, I feel that's God's work, is when you stop, you turn around and say, hey, listen, I've made a mistake here. I'm the problem or a part of the problem, and I want to be part of the solution. And I don't know. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.